Okay. So let's see, we got here Shlishi and Parshas Acharimais.
Right.
Yeah, another double parasha. Another double parasha. Last week was double. And this week, okay. The Eis Chelev HaChatos Yakiyam is Becha. Okay, it says that it's a little bit strange that the pasuk begins in the middle. In the middle of the carbon, the Aliyah. The Aliyah begins. The Aliyah is broken up in a very unusual way. The Eis Chelev HaChatos Yakiyam, normally, you know, it says in the previous pasuk, you know, that they bring the carbon chatos, and it says over here now, okay, whatever, it says over here, the chelev of the chatos, they shall burn on the mizbeach. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Hafei says, V'yas chelev ha-chatos, imure sa-par v'so'ir, yakir ha-mizbeach, al ha-mizbeach ha-chitza, de-elu b'pnimek siv, lo-salu olav keter zoro, v'oilu u'mincha. Okay, so he's referring over here is that on Yom Kippur, okay, Yom Kippur you bring two special korbanos. You bring a par and an ayil, a par and an ayil. Now the par is a personal korban. The Kohen Gadol brings a par is a very large animal. It's a very expensive animal, in fact. It's a very large animal, and the Kohen Gadol he slaughters on Yom Kippur this par, and they put the blood in the special utensil, and he also slaughters the twins, the Shnei Asi'irim. There are two he-goats. There are two he-goats that are twins, and they slaughter, and they make a gargoyle. Which one is LaHashem? Which one is LaHashem? Which one is LaZazel? And the one that's LaHashem, they collect its blood, and the Kohen Gadol goes inside the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and he sprinkles on the paroiches, on the aron, or in front of the aron, 16 times, eight times he sprinkles from the blood of the, the par, and eight times he sprinkles from the blood of the ayil, and then he sprinkles another eight times on the paroiches. And then he takes the blood and he sprinkles the blood on the Mizbeach Hazav. And then he takes the leftover blood and pours it on the Mizbeach Hachitza. Okay, yeah, so now, then what does he do? Then now, over here, this pasuk is telling us, what does he do with the power of the aisle? The power and the aisle are completely burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaDeshen. But there is one thing that is put on the Mizbeach, and that is the Chelev, the fats. The special fats of these two korbanos, these two fats are called, Rashi says, the chelev hachatos. Rashi says, chelev hachatos, emure par v'so'ir. It's interesting, we call them both. Both the par and the so'ir are both called achatos. And their fats are burnt on the mizbeach hachitzoin. The animals themselves are completely burnt, not in the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash in a special location called the Beis HaDeshen. So the blood, you know, it's interesting to note that these two animals and what they do on Yom Kippur is very, very unique. What they do with this animal. This animal, the blood is applied in multiple locations. It's applied in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. It's applied to the Paroches that separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. The blood is applied to the Mizbech HaPnimi, and the leftover blood is poured on the Mizbech HaChitzon. So the blood really goes in four separate locations. Kodesh HaKodoshim, Paroiches, Mizbech HaPnimi, and the leftovers are poured on the bottom of the Mizbech HaChitzon. The animal is burnt, the bosar and the skin of the animal is burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash, in this location called the Beis HaDeshen, and the only thing that's burnt from the carbon itself inside the Beis HaMikdash are its forbidden fats, and they are burnt on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So Rashi is coming to make it very clear that when it says in this pasuk that you shall burn Eis Chelev HaChatos Yakir HaMizbecha on the Mizbeach HaChitzon and not on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Do not burn its forbidden fats on the inner Mizbech, only on the outer Mizbech. Because the pasuk says that you're not allowed to burn anything on the inner mizbech. V'yeschil v'chatos et ha-mizbecha. Rashi says, a murei par v'so'ir yakter ha-mizbech al-mizbech ha-chitzoyim. The ilu mepenimi, ksiv it says, lo salu al-olav ketara zara v'oilu mincha. You're not allowed to bring upon it a strange ketores, an oila and a carbon oilu mincha. Okay, it doesn't say the word chatos here. Interesting, it doesn't say the word chatos here, but it's implied. Okay. What does the Targum say in this pasuk? Pasuk Chafei, he says, "V'yos tarbe chatovoso yasek l'mad b'cha." You shall bring up the fats of the chatos. You shall bring up on the mizbeach, and the perush on the side over here of the sefer, pasuk Chafei. What does he say? He says, "Tarbe chedva l'shoyn l'shoyn rabim shakavonas hamikro l'shoyn hamin." Uncle is Kedako, Hofkar Lashon Rabim, Vachin Gersa Sakaskuni, Repair Shashnabe, and Roy Paravacha Sawyer, Hapanimi, Hapanimim. The fats of the inner Chatois. Okay. Alright, okay, fine, so we'll leave it with that. Okay, we'll leave it with that. I'm sure there's a lot more here, but we'll leave it with that. Now we go to the next passage. The next passage is interesting. It says, Veham Meshlech es Hasoir la Azazel, Yichabetz Begodov, Rachatz es Bistrebemayim, Viachri Chen Yavoy El Hamachaneh. That it was a person that was assigned. Okay, it was a person that was assigned to escort the Soir la'azazel to the cliff. Okay, there were two seirim. They made a goyrel. Echad la'Hashem, v'echad la'azazel, and the Soir that was la'azazel, who was escorted by a special person to Azazel when he was thrown off a cliff. That person who escorted the Azazel, he now, the Pasuk tells us, that he has to go to Mikvah, he has to wash his clothing, meaning that the clothing, he's an Avatoma. He has the status of an Avatoma, and if he's an Avatoma, his clothing become a Rishon, so they need to be put into the Mikvah, and he has to also go to the Mikvah, and then he can return to the Machaneh. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Asher Huva, and there is no Rashi on this Pasuk. Very straightforward. Let's see in the Targum. Targum says, Udumayvel Yos Tsefiro la Azazel, the one that brings the ayil to Azazel, Yitzabal Levushohi, he has to clean his clothing, he has to toil his clothing, Vyashe Yos Bisre Bimaya, he has to toil his basar in his flesh in the mikvah. Uvasachen Yeol Lemashrisa, going to the camp. Okay, what is over here? Let's see over here on the side in the parish over here. Udumayvel, the Hamevi, the Ching Luchubhevi, Taguma. Izilu Ivilu of the Oifin, Aval Apirje, quick shabbing a Bukhar sharp, then boil the boile. Ah, the Lord taking the Lush and Shalach, Manesh Einhamishlech Nifrad, Mayhamishtaleach, Ella maybe at a psych. The Ashman Uncle Shalom, the fire Shamishlech, a coin and goddle, the Mashakos of Elvishilach, Eambalavim, Mashkos of Abraham Shalcham. Metagamina ozal imohin le al vehon. Hindorish peteres kohanim, Hamashlech, Chavis Godav, lo hamishalech es hamishalech. Okay, I'm reading further over here. I'm just reading Greek over here. Yesh sholosh shites peteres kohanim, begin mosai nitn hamashlech, lodas rabiguda nitma mishiyatza chutz lochemes hazar, lochem pas ramam. Avanir Shitahidas Uncle Iskain came to take him Mahanavi. The one who brings Es Hasoir la'Azazel Yichabes Begodav. Okay. Over here in this sefer, he's trying to make a lot of trouble for us. He's dwelling upon two details. And I'm not sure how you can didactic this in the words of Uncle Is, but obviously the very, very, very fine nuances in language, you can be didactic many of these very intricate details. There are two issues. Issue number one is, who is the person that takes the so'ir la'azazel, who escorts the animal? Maybe you can argue, this is not what we've been taught, that the Kohen Gadol himself is the one that is required to take the so'ir la'azazel and escort it to the cliff and throw it off the cliff. Why not? If the Kohen Gadol does every single thing of the Avodah on Yom Kippurim, that's the halacha. The halacha is that the Kohen Gadol, not only does the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur do the avoda of Yom Kippur, but the Kohen Gadol even brings the ordinary korbanos every single day, the maktir, the ketores, the maktir every morning, the tamid shel shachar, and the ketores. And they do it twice, in the morning and in the afternoon. Who lights the neiros? So on Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol does everything. He does all of the avoda, the tamid, the ketores, the menorah, and all the special korbanos for the day. So think about it. It's very logical that if he's anyway doing everything that's unique to this day, and even what's not unique to this day, shouldn't it make sense that the Kohen Gadol also is the one who escorts the Sawyer La'azazel to the cliff and throws it off the cliff? Yeah, we've been taught in yeshiva, we've been brainwashed that the Kohen Gadol does not do it. The Kohen Gadol gives it over to somebody else to do. Why? Okay, I don't know why, but it seems over here that this is what we mean didactic in the Targum. It says there, the Hamishaleach, the one that sends. Rashi doesn't comment. The Targum on this word says, the Hamishaleach, Pasachafa Vios Torah Udimovel. Udimovel. Why did the Targum use the word Udimovel? The word Udimovel, it means one who brings. It means the one who brings it to the Azazel. So he writes over here, that's not the correct word. The Targum should have written Vehamoylich. The word Moylich is Aramaic for the one who brings. Vehamoylich miboylei. Okay, that's what it should say. And not Moivil. Let's see. She'ein ha-mishaleach nifrad. Ein ha-mishaleach nifrad me-ha-mishaleach. He's not going to separate. Ein ha-mishaleach nifrad me-hishaleach elik mevi ala tzoik. V'yashmin ungele she'loin nefar sh'ha-mishaleach ha-koin gadol. She'loin nefar sh'ha-mishaleach ha-koin gadol. K'ma she'kosov le'el mishaleach ha-koin gadol. I'm holding all the arco. All the mulal wisdom. Okay. I don't know. I can't figure this out. He has over here something very, very deep. I don't understand what he's trying to say, but he's trying over here to bring out this point in Targum. He was trying to make it very clear that the one that does this is not going to be this Kohen Gadol. The other question over here is: it says in the pasuk over here that the person that sends it away, he becomes tummy. And exactly what moment in time does the mishaleach, the one that escorts the goat, does he become tamei? Does he become tamei when he leaves Yerushalayim? Or does he become tamei? Does he become tamei when he gets to the mountain, when he gets to the tzoik? Exactly what point in time does the mishaleach become tamei? It's also an issue which I don't know if you can redactic or in the pasuk. Somehow you can redactic this in the pasuk. Exactly what point it becomes son. All right, now we go to the next pasuk. Okay, next pasuk says the ace. It says now the next pasuk. It says the next pasuk of the ace baruch hadas leisviach hadas hashavu ba'aslamam l'chaper b'kodesh yotzil mechus ha'machaneh. What do we do with the par? The par, the bull, and what do we do with the goat? They'll take it outside the Beis HaMikdash and they burn it. The skin, the basar, and the inside. Pirsham, I think it means the waist. Everything is burnt. Ordinarily, a carbon, the skin is never burnt. The skin is leather, it's very valuable. It's given to the Kohanim as a service payment. And they can sell it, they can do whatever they want with it. But this is different. On Yom Kippur, the skin of the parlich and the sword is burnt. Where is it burnt? It's burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, they used to say, I don't know if this is true or not. I can't tell you it's true or not. They say that today in Yerushalayim, in the area where Mir Yeshiva is located, I don't know what it's called. It's called, I think it's called Beis Yisrael. It's called Beis Yisrael neighborhood. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what it's called, the Beis Yisrael neighborhood. In that location, they say that is where the Beis HaDeshen was. Every single day, or every so often, when there was too much ash on the Mizbeach, they would clear it out. Where would they bring it? So, if I'm not mistaken, they would bring, I think they did some forensic, testing, and they believed there are deposits of ash in that neighborhood, I guess buried deep down, and they suggest that this is where the ancient Beis HaDeshen was. So where near Yeshiva is located, that's the place where Yom Kippur, and where they would burn the carbon, the par, and the soir. They would burn everything, the basar, the or, and the perish, the waste. Let's see what's over here in Rashi. Rashi says, V'yizchel v'asher huvas damam l'heichel l'fnai v'lufnim. Okay, the blood was burned, so they would take it out to the Beis HaDeshen. So Rashi, we're talking about, it says, V'yos tovi dechatos v'yos v'yos sefira dechatoso de'ito'al midam hon l'chaporo b'kutsho yitafkun l'mibaro. They would take out, outside, l'mashrisa of the camp, v'yoyktun b'nur, they would burn the fire, yos mashrochon l'hoid, v'yos bisrochon the basar v'yos Uchlehoin, and the Uchlehoin also. Oh, here it is, Uchlehoin. What is that? So let's see what's over here in the Targum. Targum over here says, the Ito'al Asher Uchanas Bidamo. I'm going to go with it. Okay, let's see over here. It says over in the Perush. You don't have this. Let me see this over here. Yisakfun Yotziv Lo Tegum Koshna Kosov Yotziv Loshin Yochid. Okay. Sharam Az Lama Shashinu Yehoyu Soivlim. Oysan b'moitais. Perush Rashi, arbo ben Adam, v'yesh o'asivu sh'chavos o'gul shalom t'fash yitzi amshach al-koyim gadol. V'yayin ha'yin 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 is their skin. Uch lo'yin. All right, he says to go back somewhere else. Le'el Aleph Tezayin. Let me go back and see what he says over here. Aleph Tezayin in this parak. Aleph Tes. Oh, it's way back. All right. I'm not going to do it now. Okay, let's do it for now. All right. Let's go to the next pasuk. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chofres. It says over here, V'yasoreif oysam yichabes begodov. The people who burn the par and the soyer, they become tummy. And they have to wash their clothing. If they are in Avatumah, their clothing is a Rishon. V'dochatz es b'sroi b'mai v'yachichin yavel machneh. Let's see here, Rashi. There is no Rashi. Targum Pasukov says, U'demakid yosoni yitzaba levushohi. Those that burn the par shall wash their clothing, meaning their clothing are tameh. And v'yascha yos b'sroi, the people themselves have to wash their own basar, which means they're also tameh. So they enter into the camp. Okay, over here in the Sefer Matsuri, let us see if he has over here in Yichidushim. Okay, so does he have anything? No, he doesn't really have anything over here. That's it. Okay, now you go to Pasuk Chavtes.
Rabbi, but it is in plural, it says the people, so it couldn't be only the Kohen Gadol was doing. Other Kohanim was helping him.
Right.
You could put a question, everything the Kohen Gadol was doing.
Right. So that was my question. My question that there's a reason. That's our question. The question was: is the Kohen Gadol, the obviously.
But here it says the people, everybody.
Oh, it's some right. So it wasn't right. There were more people that were involved. But it seems that the Kohen Gadol did not leave the compound. He did not leave the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
So these things, all these things of burning the par and the soyer were done outside the Beis HaMikdash. It was done in the Beis HaDeshen. So and the Azazel, taking the animal, the soyer to Azazel, was also you had to leave the Beis HaMikdash. So it seems that the Kohen Gadol did everything on that day that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. But there were things that had to be done outside the Beis HaMikdash, namely the burning of the Paran HaSoyer, the Beis HaDeshen, and the bringing of the Azazel to the location to throw it off the cliff. So that he did not do. The people who went and engaged in these activities to burn it and to throw it off the cliff, so the Torah tells us a halachidish. Why is this so? I don't know. Is they become tame. Why? It's very mysterious. Everything here is like the paraduma. The people that were involved in preparing the paraduma, who burnt the paraduma, they became tame. Even though the ashes that they produced are potent and can make other people who are tame tohar. But the people that were involved in preparing the paraduma became tame. Likewise here, the people that were involved in burning the par and the soyer on Yom Kippur, and those that brought the animal to the cliff, the soyer, they become tame. Okay, why? I don't know, gzeres hakosef. Again, there's this discussion on the Farshim, which is not clear, at exactly what moment in time did they become tame. In other words, let's say it's a mile distance to get to the Beis HaDeshen. And the moment they left Yerushalayim, they quit. They don't feel well. And someone else took over. So does that person who started to take the par and the sot to burn on the Beis HaDeshen, did they become tamei after they left Yerushalayim, after they left the Beis HaMikdash, or did they not become tamei until they arrived in the Beis HaDeshen? I don't know. That appears to be a topic of discussion, and maybe if you want to be very clever, you can find a nuance in the Ungulus to see what he held. Rashi is silent. All right, now we come to a very important pasuk. This pasuk is, I think, is more relevant, more practical. This entire procedure that we have discussed will be for you as a law, a choik forever. When, in other words, do this every single year. When, b'chodesh hashvi'i, in chodesh tishrei, be'oso l'chodesh, on the 10th day of the month, and what shall you do? Te'anu es nafshoy seichem, you shall afflict your soul, which Chazal interpret this to mean you may not eat and you may not drink. According to biblical law, the word ta'anu means eating and drinking. And the Rabbanon added, there are other things you can't do, but the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to go and use oil, you're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to have marital relations. These things, esnaf shaseichem, v'chom lo chalo esasu, you're not allowed to do any labor, it's like a yomtif. Ho'ezrach, the citizen. Who is the citizen? I don't know, I guess everyone's a citizen, right? The hager, the Agergar, I know there was once a shul. They went and they went into business and they made a catering hall. They made a catering hall, and there was another shul next door. They had a catering hall, and the income, the only income the shul had was the catering hall. So the shul that had the catering hall, that was the prime source of income, was very upset at the new shul who opened up a new catering hall. Because they're going to make a much nicer catering hall, much bigger, and all of the business will go to them, and the old shul is going to lose all the business. So they wanted to go to a din Torah. It's a true story. So the new shul said, "No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to harm you. We didn't make a catering hall in our shul to put you out of business. Chas v'shalom." We're only making the catering hall for our own members. The only one that can use our new catering hall in our basement are people who are members of our shul. Problem was, when you ask the people in that shul, who are your members? Do you have a membership list? So he says, the whole Klal Yisrael are members. I'm not even joking. This sounds funny. This is not even a joke. I'm telling you the truth. No, we're not going into competition with you. It's for members of who are the members? Our shul, anyone who comes into the shul is a member. And the Karachava, they took all the business. They got all the business. And the other shul had a big problem. They had to make a collection to keep the shul going. Okay, so over here it says the Ezrach, members only, the Hager Hagar B'Seichem, and all of the people, the Ger Magar B'Seichem. Okay, let's see over here what it says over here in Rashi. No Rashi on this. Now, what is the Targum? Over here there's a lot of commentary. First, let's see what the Targum says. Usehei l'choin l'kyom alam b'yarcha shavi o'o. It will be for you l'kyom, forever. Okay, it will be for you b'yarcha. Now l'kyom means a choik. That's a kyom for olam, forever. B'yarcha shavi o'o, in the seventh month. Ba'asra liyarcha, the tenth day of the month. To anoint yos naf shoschan, you shall afflict your souls. V'chol avida lo ta'abdun, don't do melacha. And this is a very good word. It was worthy to come tonight to learn this. At least for me, this next word. The translation of the word ezroch. Ezroch is a popular word. A citizen. What is a citizen? America, you're a citizen. All the illegal aliens. Illegal aliens are coming into the border. They're not citizens, right? So what's called a citizen? Yatzivayo. That is the Aramaic translation that Unkelus provides for a citizen. The Giyoraya and the Ger. The Yisgayirun Beinechoin. Okay, so let's see over here what it says over here. And now you don't have this. I don't have it here. Let me read you what it says over here. Yatzivaya nikroim kein hatoshavim al shem sheyesh lachem kiyum baretz. Kmo yatzev givul esamim. V'shinu loshan kosel l'tar game ha'ezrach ve'agerk b'loshan rabim k'darko, okay, that's not what we want. So he doesn't really say very much. He just basically over here, he said the word yatzivaya means like emes v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam v'yoshar. Yatziv means established. Ani Hashem Elokeichem emes v'yatziv. The word v'yatziv that we say every single day in Shacharis after Kriya Shema is the same word as a citizen. As the Targum says, the word yatzivaya. It's the same word. Yatziv. Take away the nekudos. You see the word yatziv. And then there's a yud and aleph. So you have to change the nikud to yatzivaya. What do we commonly translate the word yatziv? It's truth. Emes v'yatziv. It is truthful, and it is established. V'nochoin v'kayom v'yoshar. It's really hard to translate all these words. There are 15 words. After you say Hashem Elokeichem emes, 15 words until you come to yofeh. That's why you say to Chosan Kala, the zivug should be oile yofeh. It's saying to the Chosan Kala, the shidduch should be emes, Yatziv, Nochoin, Kayom, Yoshar, Nemon, Ohuv, Choviv, Nechmod, Noim, Noim, I'm forgetting what I'm saying every single day. Noim, Yatziv, Nechaim, Yoshar, Nem, Kayom, the Yofe. The last word of the 15 words is Yofe. The Zivug Zola Oile Yofe. Should go from MS all the way to Yofe. All the brachas. You have the out. You say it short. Yofa, 15 words. So what's Yatziv is the first. Established. A citizen is a person who is established in the country. He has a business. He has a home. He has a reputation. He has friends. He has a shul that he davens in. He has a shul that he doesn't daven in. He has people that he had a fight with. He doesn't have a fight with. Out. He's established in the community with all good zachen. Okay, then he says over here, that's all he says. Then he says, V'giyoyrayo diyisgayrun, yudu imashikos rashi, she'yushem ger huloy hunach mitzad adas, rak mitzad shagor bo'oretz loyloy, okay, lechen amara ger, v'hei. Let me see, Sharon, it's over here, v'ein aloshen dor v'choyne, is dwelling on the word ger. Let's see. I'm not sure I understand. Uncle is really talking about the rabbi. I'm not sure I know what this means. The yiskayun bein echoin l'fi atargum ha'perish asher yikari yisrechoin. I mean, there's no nusach the yiskayun l'meisa bein echoin. Shagvonik moshe perish shivu d'mor ha'pasik yiru yitcho b'muchsak yichu kolam asher yiskayu b'fanecha v'yatu yidei shu ger. Okay, now I think what he's saying over here is, this is a very complicated topic. a ger hagar b'sechmi, over here in the parish, over here on the bottom, he says something which I think he's alluding to a very controversial topic. Okay, there are different. This is a very complicated topic. Someone, I always repeat this, so because he showed this to me, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's grandson. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's no, it's not his grandson. It's his great grandson. Let me think. Who is he? His father? Yeah, it's his great grandson. I think so. He showed me something very interesting about gerim. We think there's one type of ger. A person who converts. You have a goy, a Gentile. He goes to a Beis Din, and he tells them, I want to be a Jew. And they say, okay, you want to be a Jew, so if you're a male, you have to have a bris milah. You have to accept upon yourself all of the mitzvahs, and you have to go to the mikvah. And they usually, you know, they give him a hard time. They make him, you know, they make him make sure he learns all the halachas. I have a friend who's a ger, and I can tell you, he told me all the details of what he went through. If I today wanted to be a ger, I wouldn't make it. They wouldn't take me. And I'm sorry to say, I think most people wouldn't be accepted. What they put him through, I have a friend, he was a Gentile, and he wanted to become a ger. And he went to the Bay. He ended up going to three Bati Din, three Beis Dins. The first one wasn't possible. He quit. He then went to another Beis Din, to an Orthodox, really Orthodox Beis Dins. The first one was impossible. The second one was a little bit better, but they also drove him crazy, so he quit. And then he went to the RCA. The RCA. And they were very good to him. They gave him a very hard time also. A very hard time. Especially at the end. But at the very end, it went through. At the very end, he got a very good Rav Herschel Schachter. Rav Herschel Schachter was on the Beis Din. And Rabbi Ram. And I don't know who the third person was. It was a very chosh of the Beis Din. And they gave him a workout. And they tested him. Whatever. Gansa Maisa. And he told me the whole process. And I'm telling you, I couldn't do it. They really put him to work. They put him to work. They made him do all these crazy things to really, you know, to prove himself. And he did. He was really sincere. So they give you a hard time today in Beis Din. Now there's something called, so someone showed me in the Rambam and even in the Gemara, there's another category of, now that ger, that's it. Once you convert, you're done. You're done. You're a full-fledged Jew. Full-fledged. All the rights. Okay, only thing is you can't marry a Kohen. Can't marry a Bas Kohen. But besides not being able to marry a Bas Kohen, the ger is a ger. You're a full-fledged Jew with everything. All the rights, the benefits. Then there's something called again. This is a tremendous... We've been brought up. That's it. There's only one type of ger. There's a, either you're a ger or you're not a ger. There's no in-between. It's like pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. I'm a little pregnant. There's no such thing. It's either you're ger or you're not ger. I'll tell you a joke. Derech Agav. Someone told me, a woman told this to me. A woman, she's like, you know, she's this woman is heavy woman. And how old is she? She's about, I don't know, I would say in her 60s. She went to a doctor. She told this to me last week. She went to a doctor and someone came in to interview her. And the person said to her, are you pregnant? So she says, what are you insulting me? Just because I'm overweight, you have the chutzpah to say to me, are you pregnant? What kind of nasty thing is this? You have to insult me? You see that I'm in my 60s. What are you saying there? What kind of nasty comment is that? So this person says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you. These are the rules. I have to say this, ask this question. This is the protocol now. That's what I have to do. That's what they tell me to do here. I ask the question to the person who came before you. Do you know who was here in your seat 10 minutes ago? An 83-year-old man. And I'm required to ask the 83-year-old male, are you pregnant? So don't get insulted when I ask you, who are 60-something years old, female, are you pregnant? That's nothing to do with being overweight. I have to ask this. And then she said to me, she asked the person, is this normal? Is this normal? Are you out of your mind? are you crazy? This is what you do? This is the policy here? This is a kosher hospital? What kind of? So this, I agree with you 100%. The people here have lost their mind. But I need to make parnassa. I have a family to feed. I need to make parnassa. I have to follow the rules. But I agree with you. The people I work for, cuckoo. You believe us? Going back over here to the story over here, there's a ger hagar. So we always think there's a ger. There's only one type of ger. Either you're Jewish or you're not. So it seems this is a controversial topic. It's not so. There's another type of ger called a ger garua. A ger whose conversion is, I don't know the rules, whose conversion is a conversion, but on a lower level. And he does not enjoy the same rights as a regular ger. Now, where do you get that? I mean, it's a fun, the Gemara doesn't seem to say this, unless you want to read into the Gemara, something very creative. Gerim gerurim. They're gerim, but they're not complete gerim. They're not goyim, but they're not Jews either. You ever hear such a thing like this? I never heard such a thing like this. A ger, he showed this to me. Yachav Kalman has agreed to me. He showed me Rambam. He has a whole shul on this. Now, when you read this pasuk, this is a proof, because this pasuk says, "Chavolach lo yisasucha ezrach, a citizen, v'hager hagor b'soichechem." Here in this commentator on the bottom, the commentator over here, I'm trying to read the Targum, he says, he quotes the Targum Yosef Mezuzah, says, well, why does it say the ger that is gor in your midst? Vehager. It says, ezrach vehager. What does it mean, hagor b'soichachem? So basically what he says here, he translates this as that he converted in your presence. The gerus was 100%. Not a gerus that's questionable. Or it's called gerim, gerim, gerurim. Gerim, gerurim, people who convert, but they don't convert in front of you. It's a very fascinating concept. Because, like, you know, people know Ethiopian Jews today. So they, I don't know if you can really compare this. It's really, there are obviously differences. But, you know, some of them claim they're Jewish. B'nai Ephraim, they have all these claims, they're B'nai Ephraim. I mean, what does that mean exactly? They're totally irreligious, they're not observant. They do things that are totally way, way out. This is not the tradition. And they acknowledge their ignorance, but they claim they're Jewish. Their conversion, it's not a good example, because they're not called gerim. They claim they're Jews. But let's say you have people out there in the world. Oh, we want to become Jewish. We heard about the Jews. They go online and they look up all the laws, and amongst themselves they convert. And then we meet them and say, we're Jewish. We converted. We had bris milah. We went into the mikvah. We accepted upon ourselves the laws of the Torah. Who taught you? We went online, Google, we did a search, and we learned all the laws. Did anyone actually sit down with you, a rabbi, and have a conversation, go through it? No, we don't need a rabbi. Google taught us what to do. So this is gerim who have converted, but not under the authority, not under the guidance of you, who are traditional Jews. Ager, hagor, he translates, who has converted besoichechem amongst you, not amongst themselves. I mean, this is an incredible chiddush to say that's pshat in the pasuk. Pshat in the pasuk means you have a convert who is living amongst you. Okay, that's how we translate it. You have a ger. Everyone knows a ger. Everyone, I'm sure, knows of a ger. You know, he lives amongst you. Be nice to him. V'ager, it's Yom Kippur is a holiday. There's kapara. Don't do malacha. You, the citizen, and all the converts, and we actually say that davening. V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael v'ager hagar b'soichom Hilchal ha'am bishkagah. We say that pasuk. It's similar to this pasuk. The ger, hagar, that lives. We teach gar who lives. It's not the translation according to what he's saying over here. The ger who converted amongst you, under your supervision, not a class of human beings who on their own live in thousands of miles away, and one day a mishagas, they wake up one day, you know what, let's become Jews. No.
Rabbi, you stated that when he converted, he's a full-fledged Jew.
Provided, so the pasuk is teaching you, provided that he converted.
That's so what I want to say. So there is Jews and people who want to be Jews. They still did convert. So maybe
they're going, no.
Didn't convert, they are getting.
No, they're goyim. If they didn't convert yet, they're certainly goyim. Just because they want to convert, that doesn't make them into a Jew. No.
Because the answer doesn't say the word ger. It says native and proselyte.
Right, but a ger, in halacha, of a goy, a gentile.
I understand, but I just wanted to speak. Like, when he converted already, when he met. When he already went to the mikvah, he's included, he's a Jew. And the one, a minute before that, he's still a ger.
No, the minute before that, he's a goy. There's no such thing. It's either you're a Gentile or you're a Jew. There's no in between. So if you have today someone who wants this.
It's ger tosho.
No, ger tosho is a different category. That's a Gentile. Who lives, Ger Toshav is a Gentile who lives in the land of Eretz Yisrael, who commits himself to observe the Zion Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. We're not discussing him. No one's mentioning him. We're not discussing him. He's a guy. He's not included in Yom Kippur. The only one that's part of the Klal Yisrael is a Ger Tzedek, which means he goes all the way. He accepts upon himself all 613 Mitzvahs. He goes to the mikvah and has a bris milah. But the chiddush is, let's say you'll have a group of people, and this has happened in Jewish history, this has happened more than once. There are groups of people who heard about Klal Yisrael,